You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back. It is the NFC East Mixtape Volume 4. I believe I am RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Voice. He is Brandon Lee Gotten from Bleeding Green Nation, coming to you a day or so later than we normally do. The mixtape has days that we can really put wherever we want, BLG. It doesn't matter. The NFL schedule came out, so we had to adjust, and we are here today to discuss. But BLG, how are you doing?
RJ, big podcast today, going through the schedule. I have a couple things I want to get to before we get into the meat of the show. I want to say, obviously, for you Cowboys fans listening out there on the Blogging the Boys feed, come over to Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed, give us a 5-star review. You can tell us how much you hate the Eagles, but just give us 5 stars. And for you Eagles fans listening on Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed, do the same thing by going to Blogging the Boys podcast feed. Tell them how much the Cowboys suck, but give 5 stars and tell them how much you enjoy the podcast. And then one more thing, RJ, I don't know if you know this, but you're following 999 people on Twitter. So the next person you follow is going to be that, like the thousandth person that you follow on Twitter. That's a huge decision. I feel like we have to do something for that. Do we make you follow a listener if they tweet at you or something? Like, what do we do here? It's a big deal.
I hate that you brought this up because I don't want to break 1,000. So like sometimes like if I follow somebody or if I need to follow somebody, there's a purge. You know what I mean? Like I like the symmetry of 999. So you know, it is what it is. But like you've got to be elite to earn my follows, really. Like yeah, okay. I follow Brandon Lee Gowden, I follow Bleeding Green Nation. You know what I mean? Like you gotta be up at the top of your game to get a follow from me, especially at the point I'm at where like I've got to go unfollow somebody else. You got to kick someone out. It's like the Hunger Games, you know what I mean, if you want to survive. You mentioned though the review system that we offer. We certainly ask for reviews and ratings. It's make sure it's a 5-star rating, like BLG said, but yeah, you can write whatever you want.
Correct.
And in that spirit, Toby Maguire's biggest fan left a review on the Blogging the Boys podcast network. It is a 5-star review. The title of it, BLG, RG Ochoa, the tallest kindergartner, and it reads as follows. I tried to follow RG on Twitter for a day because he is my favorite Cowboys fan after all. However, being my favorite Cowboys fan is like being the tallest kindergartner at a whopping 2'7". I just couldn't do it with that Cowboys content on my timeline. Nonetheless, the NFC mixtape is fire. Go Birds. Really, this is a mega compliment because it means that like all I'm doing is tweeting Cowboys content, which Cowboys fans care about, but I can understand Eagles fans not necessarily being, you know, the biggest fans.
I literally once was the tallest kindergartner because I'm very tall and I've always been very tall. So good for me.
BLG, I know this from when we had to fill out bios for the SB Nation NFL show. Go subscribe to that too and listen to all the shows that we offer. BLG and I co-hosted the Oddcast this week. You're the same height as LeBron James.
That is true. We were both 6'9" and equally famous and talented at basketball. Yes.
Cool. Well, LeBron is a Cowboys fan, just like most people in the world. The Dallas Cowboys are playing in the season opener, BLG. I mentioned the Oddcast. We put together the ideal 17-game schedule. That was what we had in week 1. I guess that's probably the best place to start. By the way, we are going to offer our record predictions for all 4 NFC East teams, and I have something that I really want to complain about. But BLG, your thoughts on Dallas getting the opening slide against Tampa Bay?
I like it. I think Eagles fans are going to love seeing this. It's a great opportunity for the Cowboys to go 0-1, and we can all enjoy that. A nice little start to the season. I love it. I think it's great. I think the Cowboys, you know, America's team, you know, great stuff there. Put them in prime time. Put them in the very first game. We can't wait to see the Cowboys come back and lose. So I couldn't be happier. But I feel like you didn't like this when we talked about this.
So I didn't think it was going to happen. I think that if you're the NFL, it doesn't make sense to burn such a great ratings game in a slot that people are going to watch no matter what. But as the Athletic's Richard Deitch pointed out, the opening game has kind of suffered in ratings, suffered like for the NFL, which is still really great. And so maybe they want like some juice. So I can understand that. The other reason I didn't think this would happen was because the Cowboys, and they ultimately did, but they generally play the Thursday after Thanksgiving as well. So they generally play those two Thursdays in a row. And we all know about the mini bye that accompanies, you know, playing on Thursdays. So I thought surely the NFL will not give the Cowboys two mini byes, right? Like coming, like going from Thursday to Sunday. And then I thought if they give them the opener, they probably won't play on Thursday night football after Thanksgiving. Sometimes what the league has done is instead of giving them that Thursday slot, they wait another couple of weeks and put them on a Saturday night. They played the Jets on a Saturday night. That's, you know, whatever. But lo and behold, they gave them the opener and the Thursday night football game, which is in New Orleans, 7 days after Thanksgiving, the first of three straight road games, by the way, for the Cowboys there in December. So the Cowboys get two mini buys, BLG, and you know the importance of a mini buy. It's not, you know, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win the game following it, but the two opponents that the Cowboys have following their mini buys, so their week two opponent and their week 14 opponent. In week two, they visit the Los Angeles Chargers. That is the Chargers' home opener, first game they're ever playing in SoFi Stadium with fans. We know how poorly Chargers fans show up to Chargers games, and we know how loudly Cowboys fans show up in Los Angeles. So that could be a nice, you know, added bonus besides the extra rest. And in week 14, after the mini bye, Dallas will be in Washington. And I think you would agree from a Dallas perspective, the most important division game this season is the one in Washington. So having that little bit of an advantage kind of helps. So it really worked out nicely. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's so unlike the NFL schedule to ever benefit the Cowboys. Like they get this they never have to play. Here it is. Here's the big topic of debate that you and I have been having in like publicly
for years. Privately. We've been debating this for years. Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's literally no good reason for the Cowboys to never have to play a road Thursday game anymore, and they don't.
Like, they do. They play one this year. They play on the road on Thursday Night Football.
On short rest, as opposed to, but not the Thanksgiving one, right? Like not no, going like
that's so, that's always the first of their two Thursdays. To your point.
So it's not a short week. It's not. They're not playing on a Thursday night on short rest from a Sunday to a Thursday, which is correct. Like. Ask players, ask coaches. That's like one of the very hardest things to do in the NFL is like to go on the road in that very, very condensed stretch and then win a game. Like that's really tough to do. It's might be the biggest disadvantage there is in the NFL. And the Cowboys literally never have to do it. Like that's just, there's no good reason why they never have to do it. Like you bring up all this reasoning about like, oh, they have to play this condensed schedule and a lot of games in a few days, but like, okay, but they're not doing what a lot of people agree is one of the very hardest things to do. Like there's no good reason for it to happen. Like just play a road Thursday game on short rest at some point. Like it shouldn't never happen. I don't get how, what possibly like competitive reason is there to justify the Cowboys never having to do this?
I'm not saying it's an answer that's going to satisfy you, but the answer is that they play their home game on Thanksgiving every year, right? Like that's the thing. Like, and everyone can moan and groan about that, but they are the afternoon Thanksgiving Day game and will be for the end of like until the end of time. But so if you got your wish, they would have to play two short week games in a season, which no other team has to do.
They can play on the road on Thanksgiving. What is so wrong about that? Like, what is so like, why can't they ever, fine, keep them on Thanksgiving every year. Fine. Why can't they like alternate it a little bit? Like, why can they never play on the road? Like, that because doesn't make
of,
any sense.
Because of the ratings involved. That's again, like that's the way the NFL, this is the NFL's answer, not mine. But what I will say, like, I can acknowledge that it makes sense to you that it's frustrating that the Cowboys never have to play a road Thursday night game off of short rest. That is totally fair. But the trade-off, as I put it to you in our Slack chat, is the Cowboys, again, this isn't 100% thing, but for the most part, also play the Thursday after Thanksgiving. So while every other team, granted, even the ones that have to play on the road, they go from Sunday to Thursday, then they get their mini bye right away. They get a week and a half to rest after their condensed week. The Cowboys don't get that. After the Thanksgiving Day game, they're on a normal week's worth of rotation. And so, granted, that is certainly not another short week, but they go Sunday to Thursday to Thursday. Every other NFL team, except for their opponent that week, goes Sunday to Thursday to Sunday. In fact, some teams go Sunday to Thursday to Monday. And so, like, that's like the way I'm not trying to like meet you in the middle, but like you have to acknowledge that that's a real thing. That's undeniable fact that they have to play those three games in that condensed time. And that's the trade-off, I think.
Yeah, but they're getting the extra rest on that second Thursday, right? Because then they're going
still net them in. And that's what I'm talking about. So this year, as an example, they're in Kansas City the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Then they host the Raiders on Thanksgiving. That's their short week, granted, at home. Then 7 days later, they're on the road in New Orleans. So that does kind of mitigate, because sometimes that second Thursday game has been at home. And so, like, they get, you know, granted the short, you know, amount of time, but they're at home the entire time. And then after that road Thursday game in New Orleans, they're on the road again in Washington. And on that subject, BLG, there are only three teams in the NFL. This is the NFC East mixtape, but only three teams in the league that have three straight road games this season. And we'll go chronologically. The Indianapolis Colts, shout out to Carson Wentz, will be on the road weeks 3, 4, and 5. The Cincinnati Bengals will be on the roads weeks 6, 7, and 8. And the Dallas Cowboys have the latest stretch, weeks 13, 14, and 15. They're on the road. That is, and maybe that makes you feel better, like that there is this like balancing, because their prize for hosting their Thursday night game is they immediately have to play three games on the road.
Who do they play in that third straight game on the road again?
So after Thanksgiving, they visit New Orleans, and then they get the mini bye, and they visit Washington. And then so Sunday to Sunday, then they visit the Giants. So New Orleans, Washington, New York.
So that is definitely that's significant to play three straight games on the road. I remember the Eagles played the Saints last year in the, you know, Jalen Hurts was his first full. Yeah, his first full NFL start after, you know, he came in for Carson Wentz and the Packers team, and the Eagles upset the Saints. That was their third straight road game. Like those,
oh, and they they had just been to Lambeau, right, the week before. Wait. Yeah, because that was the game Jalen went in for Carson.
Yeah, but I'm saying on the Saints end, also that was their third.
Oh, road that game. Was New Orleans' third straight. Gotcha.
Yeah, but because and then Eagles won.
Then didn't Philly go to Arizona the week after that?
Yes, correct.
So yeah. Like there was a crossover of like two different teams in the middle of two different three straight road games. But yeah, so that's what you're kind of saying, is that third game for New Orleans might have been made a little bit more tough by the fact that it was their third road game in a row.
It's a real thing. Like three straight games on the road is hard. Like once you get to that third game, like it is like it's a grind. It's a challenge. It's like that's not insignificant. So the fact that it's happening for the Cowboys in the division, like that's definitely a disadvantage. Maybe the NFL schedule makers are finally catching on a little bit and trying to even it out. So that's nice to see.
Well, there is a little bit of a balance there. The Cowboys, BLG, have 5 primetime games. No shocker there. They have some big window games, like the Chiefs game will be CBS, you know, Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson, all that jazz. But let's go to the Eagles. These two teams will meet on Monday Night Football. The most, I think, recent memory people have of Cowboys Eagles on Monday Night Football is 2008. DeSean Jackson not quite carrying it into the end zone. That was a good time. It's rare Cowboys Eagles on Monday Night Football, but it will happen in week 3. And if you'll allow me, I got super lucky here. I don't know if I tweeted about this, but I said it some, you know, shows I did. I'm going to the Ryder Cup this year. I don't know who's listening is a fan of golf, but that is taking place the weekend of week 3. And so I was like panicked, you know, what am I going to do? Like, you know, like I was like, what if the Cowboys play the Chiefs that week? You know, like, what am I going to do? Blah, blah. Monday Night Football, boom, roasted. So nice for me. But Cowboys Eagles Monday night, week 3, your thoughts?
The answer is no one, because golf is boring and no one wants to think about golf. So okay. That's the true answer. I'm sure that won't anger anyone who actually does like golf who's listening to this. You mentioned the Cowboys have 5 primetime games, RJ. No surprise there. The Eagles only have 2.
That is shocking. That.
It really is. Like so hat tip to the Eagles subreddit that pointed this out. The last time the Eagles had 2 or fewer primetime games was 2000. We're talking 21 years ago. That's crazy. And then the last time they didn't have a Sunday night football game was 2003. Like, you know, this is Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb. This is how, like, this is a crazy long time ago. So I think that kind of just really kind of reflects what I've been saying about this team. Like this, there's not a lot of juice here other than Devontae Smith, which has been like the most exciting thing to happen to this team in a long time, and why it's been such a big deal and why I've been so excited about it is there's just not a lot of juice here. Now, I guess I will mention that, you know, the flexing, you know, is more flexible than it has ever really been, I think, when it comes to Sunday Night Football. And also the Eagles might be playing in like a prime time kind of game because they have that, I think it's week 15 game where, yeah, the date hasn't been decided yet. If the Eagles are good, then I'm imagining they're going to be playing against Washington on Saturday in like, you know, a feature game. And if they're not, the NFL is just going to try to hide it on Sunday instead. So, you know, there's potential for more, but I think that kind of just speaks to where how the NFL views the Eagles. And it's strange. It's just not, you know, for, you know, they've had their downs, whatever, through the years, but they've usually at least been some kind of like compelling team. And they're not, they're just like irrelevant. I read more than any and write probably more and podcast more about the Eagles than anyone. And just like reading, you know, Football Morning in America each week from Peter King and then, you know, MMQB from Albert Breer, like these national columns, like the Eagles aren't getting mentioned in those. And I don't blame those guys. I'm just saying like, it's just really interesting how this team is kind of just like fallen off the map in terms of intrigue level.
So I want to talk about the intrigue in the division as a whole, like down the stretch of the season, we'll get there in a little bit, but to look at this, like from a surface, you know, perspective, the Eagles, the Giants and Washington, because like people make a lot about primetime games and you're right. Like that's a really fascinating thing that's been 21 years. But I think a bigger measurement of how much the NFL cares isn't necessarily how many primetime games you have. It's how many noon games do you have? Because that's when the NFL is truly trying to bury you. Like if you are a contending team, you're playing a lot in the afternoon. And so all three non-Cowboys teams have 11 games in the noon slot. Which is nuts. The Cowboys only have 7. And some of that is just the Cowboys are going to pull no matter what. Although we are talking about a Cowboys team that got flexed out of Sunday Night Football last year in a game against the San Francisco 49ers of all teams. But I mean, yeah, dude, like that's nuts. And not only do they only have 2 primetime games, but correct me if I'm wrong, BLG, they're 2. You mentioned that there was no Sunday Night Football game. Our Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. And one of those games is against the Cowboys and the other is against the reigning world champion Buccaneers. So like, it's not even like the Eagles that are driving any of this. They're just like along for the ride in both instances on the 2 inferior primetime slots.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to look at that. And again, if you know, let's say they're better than expected. And I have a theory, by the way, on this NFC bunching. We can get into that in a bit here. A couple other things I just wanted to mention here on the Eagles schedule is that they do have a big advantage this year. I think I was looking at Warren Sharp had put out something about how like the Eagles had basically like the biggest rest disadvantage in the past 10 years. Well, I think some of that is being repaid this year because the Eagles don't play any teams coming off a bye or Thursday Night Football. So that's pretty good for them. No rest issues. Where elsewhere in the division, by the way, I was looking here and Washington football team plays 2 teams coming off the bye, including the Eagles. The Cowboys get the Vikings off of the bye, and then the Giants have the Raiders off the bye. So every other NFC's team has at least 1 team coming off a bye. So there's that to consider.
The Cowboys by the way, is a double whammy in that they get the Vikings coming off of their bye, but they are coming off their bye. So they don't even don't even get like that advantage. You know what I mean? Like it's not only that they're losing out on that, it's that they're also not picking it up somewhere else. It's just nullified completely.
The last thing I want to say in the Eagles is there's like a lot of talk about, oh, the Eagles have the easiest strength of schedule in the league. Like, why are we still using strength of schedule as a way to determine, like, why are we doing this?
It's like using passing yards. Like, it's literally the equivalent of that.
I saw so many people doing this with the Eagles, and I'm like, are we, like, so that the whole concept of that is so funny to me because it's like strength of schedule, this thing that assumes that last year just automatically carries over to this year. But then, so if you're looking at that and you're an Eagles fan or, you know, whatever, any kind of fan of a team that has an easy schedule, strength of schedule, it's like, so we're looking at that for hope, but you're saying that the Eagles, they're going to be different this year. But then you're looking at something that is assuming that all the teams are going to be the same to justify things are going to be different. Like that doesn't make any logical sense. So obviously the better way to look at strength of schedule is going by win totals, you know, Vegas or, you know, the betting odds, wins totals. And if you look at that, the Eagles schedule, depending on which sports book you use, you know, obviously the numbers vary, but the Eagles one is, I found one that was like 15th. So none of them you look at are hard, but I just like to slow down a little bit, people, when we're talking about like, this is the easiest schedule in the league. Like, you know, they have to play the Chiefs. They have to play the Chargers. They have to play the Bucks. So like, it's not like a cakewalk by any means.
I agree with you completely. And I think like what happens when people go off of strength of schedule, like that's going to be the case for the entire NFC East, right? Like it's going to, because they get to play each other and their records were so bad last year. It's so dumb. But I just have like an interesting point. Maybe it's not interesting. But
I'll
but
like that.
Right. So we talked primetime games, we talked noon games. Again, almost the true like reflective value of how the NFL values your team is how often they put them in the afternoon. America's Game of the Week on Fox with Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Aaron Andrews, and Christina Pink, or the CBS call again, Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson. So obviously the NFC East is playing the AFC West. Every NFC East team against the Denver Broncos, BLG, is in the afternoon slot except for the Cowboys. The Cowboys play Denver at noon, but every other NFC East team plays them in the 3 o'clock window. That's just weird to me. Why, if we're like guessing, like I'm looking at the Eagles schedule right now. I mean, we're looking at all these schedules right now, but their afternoon games are actually all AFC West teams. They visit Vegas in the afternoon slot. They get the Chargers in that slot. And both those kind of make sense. The Raiders, maybe you could go kind of plus minus, but then the Broncos, I don't understand it. Like if you told me, okay, you can have three of these games in the afternoon, why are the Broncos and Raiders in the afternoon slot over the Chiefs? Like, why are you putting the Chiefs at noon against the Eagles? You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense to me. Similarly, like Washington plays the Chargers at noon. Why not put Washington Chargers in the afternoon instead of Washington Denver? Like, why did Denver get all of like 75% of the afternoon slots against the NFC East?
I don't know. Do you have a theory?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, this is the sign that the NFL believes Aaron Rodgers is ending up there. But like, that would be the only like logical thing, wouldn't it be? In that, like that's the only, like, why would you prioritize Denver over almost literally any other team in their division? Right. Like, yeah. Do they not have, you're talking about like, you know, your MMQBs and your Football Morning in America is like, of all the AFC West teams, Rodgers drama aside, don't the Broncos have the least amount of juice?
I would say the Raiders. I think to me at least, like I just even looking at going through the Eagles win predictions for bleedinggreennation.com, I was like, I don't really know what to say about this team that's interesting at all. Like they have the quarterback you would want the least, I think, in the NFL in terms of a guy like who's too good to get rid of, but also too bad to actually win anything with, kind of in that Kirk Cousins tier. And I don't know, like Gruden isn't like interesting. And I don't know, there's just not all the juice to me there so it's the Raiders for me who are just totally juiceless. I mean, at least the Broncos right now, I mean, if the Broncos don't have, you know, Aaron Rodgers and they go into the season without him, then sure. But like the fact that that possibility exists right now obviously gives them more.
I also want to say there are only three teams in the NFL, BLG, to start their season with two road games. One is the Minnesota Vikings. Two, the San Francisco 49ers, our buddy Stats, is complaining about everything because that's how he does, and the Dallas Cowboys. So, like, again, like, let's hold your horses on, like, the NFL's catering to the Cowboys. Like, they made things difficult for them. But, like, tell me if you agree with this or not. If you're a Cowboys fan, BLG hates you, but if you're a Cowboys fan, and you have to start with two really hard games, don't you want them to be Tampa in the Chargers? Like, that's the best, like, get it, like, if we ranked all of the quarterbacks the Cowboys will face this season, the three best are undeniably Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Justin Herbert, right? So, like, get two of the three out of the way early on. Like, that seems like it's not a win, but it's the least deflating loss in my mind.
So Jimmy Kemsky and I were actually talking about this for BGN Radio, and he would very much disagree with you because he thinks it's generally better to get the good teams, at least on paper, later in the year, because in theory they can get hurt. You know, there could be an injury. And I think, like, so, you know, and obviously the chances of that are less at the beginning of the season. So from that perspective, no, I'd almost rather have them later in the year and hope they get decimated. I mean, look at the Saints last year in terms of the Eagles, you know, getting to face Taysom Hill instead of Drew Brees. So
that's a good point.
I would actually go the other way on that. So you're wrong, and I hate you.
Okay, so we have this whole NFC East cluster thing to get to. But before we do, we've got to take a quick break. So nobody go anywhere. We're going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. All right, welcome back. We've been teasing this long enough, and so I want to go ahead and get there before we get to our record predictions, BLG. I have a diatribe to go off of. Do you go on a diatribe? Is that what you do with a diatribe? Or do you like...
I'm on a diet. Yes.
So I first noticed this, and you first noticed this for the Eagles, but I noticed it for the Cowboys, the bunching of divisional games near the end of the season. So looking at every team in the NFC East, The Cowboys, 4 of their last 5 games are within the division. The Eagles, 5 of their last 6 are within the division, although that does include the bye week, so a little bit of a different thing, but still, the point still stands. New York has the lowest level in this measurement. 3 of their last 4 are within the division. Washington's last 5 games in a row are NFC East contests. Now, I always associate this particular thing with the Falcons and the Saints. I hate when teams play, division rivals play each other 2 times in 3 weeks. I hate that. And I always think of New Orleans and Atlanta. Dallas and Philadelphia, both get Washington 2 times in 3 weeks. Washington's final 4 weeks leading up to the finale, Dallas at Philly, at Dallas, Philly. This is stupid. I really don't like this. I'm curious for your thoughts.
It's not enough time to like build like more intrigue and drama. Like it's the dynamic of a rivalry, I feel like, can change when you play a team, let's say in September, and then all the way later in the season in December. That could be totally different teams, dynamics, starting quarterbacks, injuries, whatever. Like it's a whole different game. To have them so close is a bummer. I think it's worked out before. If you're gonna do like within 3 games, I think there has to be a bye week in there. So there's at least like the extra gap of a week to kind of put some distance, because the Eagles have done that with the Giants before, and I still don't love it because it feels too close, but at least adds a little bit in there. It's crazy, man. It's weird for the Eagles to only have 1 NFC East matchup in their first 11 games. Like that's so strange. And then 5 in their last 6 games, 4 out of their last 4. So you said Washington 5 out of the last 5.
Yeah, the last 4 in a row. Good point. Yeah.
It's just so nuts. My theory on this, I've been thinking about why did this happen? And is it like punishment? Is this like, this is your punishment, NFC East? Like you had, I think it could be, because last year the NFC East was in the final game of the regular season. It was on national and everyone was like, oh, this is such a disgrace. And everyone in the league was already thinking that, you know, the NFC East was a joke. And then it really crystallized with that game where the Eagles wisely decided not to win. And I think it's almost like the NFL didn't want to go to NFC East forward. I know the Cowboys are an opener, but we're talking about division games and division as a whole. I think they were like, let's let that simmer a little bit. Let's leave some time for that to be removed from that all. And maybe the thought is like, okay, these teams are going to be close by the end of the season, and the best way to add in some intrigue to this division is just to stack it all at the end. What about you? What's your thought on this?
I don't have a thought. I can't like rationalize it any one way. So for anyone who's curious, there are 12 total games that are like 12 games that are one NFC East team against the other in a given season. 8 of them, BLG, 2/3 take place over the final 5 weeks, which means that you only have 4 NFC East games in totality from weeks 1 through 12. That's stupid. I mean, we're talking about we get to mid-December with only 4 NFC East games that have happened to that point. What's more is of these 8 games that take place over the course of the final 5 weeks, and maybe this supports your, they're being punished, theory, is only one of them is not at noon. Like, and that one is on primetime, to be fair, Washington at Dallas. Now, also to be fair, Washington at Philly the week before that is the subject to change one that you talked about. But still, so you have all of this NFC East action. And like, I could kind of understand it if the NFL was like, we're going to load up NFC East because we know those markets are big. We're going to put one on Monday Night Football, one on Thursday Night Football. We're going to put one on Christmas night, or, you know what I mean? Whatever. We're going to do another one on Sunday Night Football. But no, like, it's just, it's like sweeping under the rug almost, like the rug of the season. Like everything's happening. It's like, oh, we got to get this done. Like, let's get it out of the way. You mentioned when you talked about your episode with Jimmy that, you know, what if an injury happens? And like, ultimately, you know, injuries are part of the game. But I mean, we ultimately want the best team to win. Like, you want to feel like the true best team in the division won it at season's end. And like, for example, Zach Martin missed week 15 3 years ago. You know what I mean? And like something like that now would hover so much largely than it does in normal seasons. Like I don't understand. There's no logic that supports just smashing all of it together in the final window like this.
I think it's like really boom or bust potential. Like there's a situation where like these teams are kind of close and it goes down to the wire and it's kind of like intriguing each week. It's like, oh, you know, and they're kind of shifting in the standings. But like, what about the scenario where there's a team just like, and I don't know how likely it is, but let's just say it is, and one team runs away with the division. And by the time you get to all these late games, like, it doesn't even matter. Like, people are just jostling for second or third in the division and probably not even necessarily a wild card spot. It's like those games could be meaningless, basically, or a big chunk of the NFL schedule there could be like really not too intriguing at all. So I think it's like really boom or bust. They're like playing with fire on this one.
Well, so that's really possible. Like we could, if the division is effectively won by Thanksgiving, which it could have been last year, like if Dak Prescott hadn't gotten hurt, right? Like you're playing with hypotheticals at that point. But to your point, we're recording this right now. It's halftime of the Man United Liverpool match. But earlier this week, Man United played Leicester City. And because of Man United's position in the table, like they're solid, they threw out this kind of, you know, more casual lineup than they would if they were taking the match seriously. And all these like soccer fans had this big old problem with it. Like, wow, this is so disrespectful. But the like true objective response, BLG, is, hey, they earned this. Like they earned the right to be able to chill like at this particular moment if they want to. And to your point, like we could literally get to mid-December where, and like I'm using the Cowboys in this instance, but like, I think it's very possible the Cowboys have maybe 7 wins after that New Orleans game on Thursday Night Football. And so they could like Dallas could clinch the NFC East effectively in week 16, that Washington Sunday Night Football game. And so then what happens? Then over the final 2 weeks, you have a whole lot of NFC East games that you've just squandered. And to your point about being boom or bust, I mean, like those could have been random Thursday Night Football games or something throughout the season that you could have benefited more. Like as an example, week 17, Philly is at Washington. That could wind up being something. And then week 18, you've got the two division matchups across the four teams. So you're talking about potentially 3 of the 12 division games being meaningless. And I mean, it seems like a really dumb bet on the NFL's part. For like, if you're going to do this, do it with the NFC West. Right, like a division that is super competitive. This is the wrong one to play with fire on.
It's weird. Like, there's definitely some kind of conscious effort here, right? Like, this didn't happen by accident. Like, they go through the schedule, and I get things are hard, and maybe it had to happen with someone, but it's just so strange. Like, we've never really seen anything like this, right? Like, I can't think of any precedent for one division game for the Eagles in their first 11 weeks. That's nuts. It's crazy, too, because the Eagles don't have a bye till week 14. It's so crazy, which I think is now like the latest possible buy. It is the latest possible buy there is. But oh, by the way, this stretch, like if the Eagles are still hanging around, like potentially does help them because
it helps anybody because they can catch up. To your point,
it helps anybody, but they can catch up. But specifically with travel, and maybe not so much with the Cowboys, but some of the other NFC's teams, but with the Eagles specifically, 7 consecutive regular season games in one season without getting on a plane, which is what the Eagles were going to have at the end of their schedule here. It's actually like 8 weeks, you know, if you include the bye in there, but it's 7 games. That's never been done before, at least in the Super Bowl era. There was like a handful of 6 game stretches where the team didn't have to get on a plane, but 7. So I think that's kind of interesting. It really just puts a lot of hyper focus on that final stretch. But if it matters, again, which we don't know.
My last point on this, there are 3 things here that I've never seen before. One is Philadelphia having 4 division games in a row, let alone to close the season, but just 4 in a row. So obviously within that is Washington having 5 in a row, again, specifically 5 in a row to end the season. But the other thing I've never seen before is Philadelphia gets through their bye, which, as you mentioned, is week 14, and then has those 4 division games and all 3 of their home division games. 3 of their final 4 games are home division games. If the NFL is caping to anybody, it is the Eagles.
Listen,
that is actually like to call it an unfair advantage is like unfair to the word unfair. That is like a hysterical advantage.
This is like the worst year for the Eagles to get a favorable schedule though, because like they're not like in the position to take full advantage of it. Like they're probably not going to be a great team. We need to the record predictions here, but like they're not. You know, the owner said they're retooling. Like this is a admission that this team is not all in competing for a Super Bowl title this year. Like maybe, you know, surprise a little bit, expectations. Maybe they make the playoffs, they win a playoff game at the very best, but like, no one is actually expecting this team to seriously compete for a championship this season. So in some ways, it's like the worst time for it to happen because they can't fully reap the benefits from it.
I think it's time to do some record predictions to close. What team do you want to start with, BLG? Should we save Cowboys and Eagles for last?
Sure, because we didn't really touch on the Giants and Washington as much. Go to the Giants, who, when we were talking about them when we launched the NFC East mixtape, I was probably higher on them than I am now, RJ. But I've kind of crystallized for me that the Giants are a bunch of losers. Now,
I've been saying
remember
this.
How?
Yeah.
Well, just the attitude. This whole thing.
Oh,
so I don't know if you saw.
Okay. Oh, I saw. So, go ahead.
In addition to what we talked about previously, I guess it was on the Oddcast where the Giants like really wanted to play the Eagles in week one, which is just the lamest thing ever. The Giants put out this tweet with the schedule release, like games, which games do you have circled on your calendar? And like the Eagles were in the promo image. And it's just like, really? The Eagles are the game you're circling. The team that went 4-11-1. You have the Super Bowl champions, the defending Super Bowl champions on your schedule. Like you have the Chiefs on your schedule and you're circling the Eagles game. Like that's the one that's your Super Bowl this year. So this team, what the Giants are doing reminds me of what the Bears were doing when, remember, like, you know, the double doink, like, and they basically made their entire offseason about kicking. Remember that? Remember, like, there was all the reports coming out of Bears practices where, like, Matt Nagy was, like, making the kickers kick from the very exact spot where, like, they got so obsessed with that. And that wasn't the only reason, you know, the Bears struggled that season. But it did feel like that's what it came about. Like, we have to fix what went wrong last year. We have to fix what... And, like, the Giants, to me... Maybe the players aren't thinking this way. Maybe Joe Judge isn't thinking this way, although I could see him absolutely, like, before that Eagles game, the first one they play in week 12, being like, this is, you know, this is, we have to have this game. So I just think, like, the Giants are big losers. And I have them going 8-9 when I went my win loss game by game prediction. What about you?
I do not believe in the Giants whatsoever. I've said this since the inception of the NFC East mixtape, the longest running NFC East show in all the land of shows and podcasts. And I've said this before, the only team that I could 100% talk myself into being worse than the Giants in the whole conference is the Detroit Lions.
Other than the NFC East teams, right? Like,
no,
other than the Eagles.
No, like
you took the Eagles out of it last time.
But I'll say that now. I think the Eagles will be like, I'm about to, I mean, spoiler alert on that record prediction, but the only team that I am like, again, 100% willing to say, oh, the Giants will be better than them is the Lions. And even then, like, I still kind of feel like I could be wrong there. But so I just don't buy into anything they're doing. Yes, they have some nice skilled players. And I really think that the trade in the draft set them up well, but that isn't something that's working here and now. I think they go 5-12.
That's, wow.
I mean, I'm not a believer. I'm 5-12 because somebody has to. Like, I don't want to give away your record predictions, but I find yours to be really not sustainable. But 5-12, somebody's got to be, because I really believe they were the worst team in the division last year. And not to like take that mantle from the Eagles. The Eagles were the like most disorganized and the most dysfunctional. You know what I mean? But like at the end of the day, the Giants just suck more, like in terms of like who they are. The Eagles just get in their own way. And so like that's a whole different issue to try and fix and, you know, make right. But the Giants are just, they're just boring. I mean, and so 5-12, that's it.
Even worse than they were last year. Interesting. Obviously going 6-10 last season. Just so lame. I can't get over the playoff. Like, go better than 6-10 if you want to make the playoffs. Like, whatever. Anyway, pivoting to the football team, I actually have them winning the NFC Star J. Surprise, surprise. I have them going 9-8. They have some tough games in their schedule, but I was thinking about how, you know, everyone thought Washington couldn't possibly beat the Steelers last year. And then they went and they did that. And so I think they can hang with some of these tough teams thanks to that defense. I think Fitzpatrick is going to have some hot games. He's also going to have some very cold games, as we all know. So I just think Ron Rivera, the coaching, there's stability there that I trust from him, not from the organization, obviously, with Dan Snyder still there. So obviously there's always that factor where things could go wrong. The disaster potential very much exists, but that's not where I'm at with them mentally right now. I think they go 9-8. And I have a situation playing out where, and this is tipping my hand with the Cowboys a little bit, but in my game-by-game record prediction on bleedinggreennation.com, I think it's the second year in a row where the Eagles' final game of the season ends up determining that Washington wins the NFC East, because it's the Eagles versus the Cowboys in week 18, which is a weird thing to say that exists now. And it is the Eagles beating the Cowboys, not to make the playoffs themselves, but to spoil Cowboys' chances of making the postseason and giving it to Washington instead.
Do you realize that in generally serious games for the last 5 years or so, the Cowboys Cowboys have had their way with the Eagles, but a whole different subject. Anyway, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick's great. He will have good games. Totally agree with you. But we both agree that those are going to be like Ryan Fitzpatrick's like hot time is like, you know, when it gets colder and it's like, ooh, let's make some chili. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, let's make that soup. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like when it's cold outside, you want like some certain foods. You know, does that make sense?
What's your favorite soup?
Chicken tortilla. That's my favorite soup. But I don't mind tomato soup. Although last time I went like all in on tomato soup, I got food poisoning and like that was the worst experience. Yeah, it was rough. I blame it on the cheese that was part of the grilled cheese. You know what I mean? That I made. But yeah, chicken tortilla.
So you made this. You didn't buy this anywhere.
I heated it was like pre-made chicken or tomato soup that I heated up and I did make the grilled cheese to like dip in it. You know, whatever. But what's your favorite soup?
Baked potato soup is the correct answer.
That's a good answer.
Just so good. I like a thick creamy soup. I don't want any kind of this like broth liquidy kind of soup. I mean, some of those soups can be good, but like I want something hearty, especially if we're talking about it's cold. You need something like, you know, that sticks to your bones kind of soup. So
agreed. That's what I'm saying though. Like what I'm envisioning is when it's colder outside, you go out to dinner, hopefully, you know, in a setting where you can be with friends and family. You're at this restaurant, you're wearing a jacket and it's like Saturday night. And, you know, like for us, we're readying for the next day, all the Cowboys Eagles coverage. But it's like, you know, the Oklahoma games on TV, you know, like it's just it feels like fall. Like if that's that moment is when Ryan Fitzpatrick turns into a pumpkin, like, right. Like he loses all his hot. His hot games generally don't come past that point in time. And so that being said, I am thrilled. I hate that it's twice in 3 weeks, but I'm thrilled for a Cowboys perspective that their first game against Washington is not until December 12th. Because by then, Ryan Fitzpatrick will have cooled. The soup that's stuck to your bones will be like ice cold dry. So I think Washington will be somewhat competitive, but I don't really believe in them. I have Washington going 7-10, and I feel very confident in that.
So...
And that's like, that's who they are. That's who they were last season. You know what I mean? But like, and you can argue they beat Dallas twice last year without Dak Prescott and by like blasting Andy Dalton. You know what I mean? In the first game. And so Dak Prescott is 7-1 in his career against the Washington football team. And that's, you can't like translate that to everything every year, but it is significant. So if you take those two wins away from them last year, if Dak's there, I don't 7-10 feels right to me.
What do you want to go to next, Eagles or Cowboys?
Let's finish with the Eagles. You know, this has been a big Cowboys show, so let's build up, you know, to a strong finish. I don't think it's a shocker. I have the Cowboys winning the NFC East. I actually think, and I've been asking a lot of Cowboys fans this, we did a live show on our YouTube channel the night the schedule came out on Wednesday. And if you look from Thanksgiving on, BLG, I think it's possible the Cowboys, counting Thanksgiving, maybe lose two games. You've got Raiders, Saints, Washington twice, New York, Arizona, Philly. Now, that does include the 3 road game stretch, which you mentioned. Most people, again, kind of agree that 2 losses felt fair. A lot of people think they'll split with Washington. A lot of people are a little bit nervous about Arizona. Maybe New Orleans is fluky. Maybe, to your point, that second loss is New York just because you're coming off of 2 in a row or 3 in a row, whatever. But my point is, if they win 5 games starting with Thanksgiving, they really only have to win 5 or 6 on the way to Thanksgiving, which is somewhat feasible. So my actual record is 12-5.
Oh my gosh. What a homer. 12-5 for the Cowboys. Amazing. With a defense that is still garbage, by the way, with an offense that looks good on paper, but very much has a quarterback coming off a major injury and an offensive line that has durability questions. 12-5. Very interesting. I have them not 12-5. I have them 8-9 along with the New York Giants and, spoiler alert, the Philadelphia Eagles too. So I know that's a crazy record or a crazy finish where 3 teams finish 8-9, 1 finishes 9-8. But, maybe I'm wrong, RJ. Maybe look though, this isn't me like being in a spot where I think the Eagles are amazing and I'm just, the Cowboys suck. Like I'm not homering it up in terms of me. I don't know. I just have questions about the Cowboys still. I said the offensive line thing before the draft. This isn't just revisionist history or like, you know, trying to say what's convenient to me. I have question marks about this team. I have never been a Mike McCarthy guy. I was glad when the Cowboys hired him. I wanted them to hire him as opposed to, like, I would have been terrified if they got Matt Rhule, because I think Matt Rhule is a good head coach. Now, do I like his taste in quarterbacks? I do not. I think he's a good head coach. So I still have a lot of questions about the Cowboys. So I have them at 8-9. That's legitimately what I came up through, just going by, again, win, loss each week through the schedule there. I felt like favorable in some instances. I was trying not to just go my, like, very harsh on them. That's where I landed.
I also have the Eagles finishing at 8-9, by the way. That was the only team we had the same record prediction on, which means I have the NFC East finishing Dallas, Philly, Washington, New York. Because I do think that there will be more stability within the Eagles organization this year. Which isn't saying much, but still, like, it was so chaotic last year and arguably for the last, 3 years since the Super Bowl, basically. So, like, that has to go a long way. Devontae Smith, awesome, whatever, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm not a believer. I think the division had a great draft overall, like, for each team. I think every team did and accomplished what they needed to. But the biggest change, the biggest X factor, whatever you want to call it, is Dak Prescott. He's back. And, like, yes, there are questions, obviously, about what his health is going to be like coming back. But, I mean, he is, you know, however you want to stop with it, you think he's a top 5, 6, 7 quarterback in the NFL. The gap between the best quarterback in the NFC East and the second best is larger than it is in any other division. And this is a quarterback driven league. And so, like, I think that that's just the difference. I mean, the Cowboys almost won the division last year themselves with only having Dak through October. I mean, so that's where I land, but, you know, hey, that's why they play the games.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how terrified would you be if the Eagles got Deshaun Watson? 10 being the most scared.
Honestly, not as scared as I think most Eagles fans would think, just because that is such a huge question mark right now. I think that I would, if I ran a team, I would not want to roll the dice on that. I'd be terrified if the Eagles acquired Russell Wilson. That would terrify me.
Of course. Well, I know that.
but yeah, so, sweet. So Cowboys winning the division. Give me a number. Agree.
Give me a number. You have to give me a number.
Like a 4 or 5.
Okay.
Like the, you know, like,
but, and let's assume he's, like, going to play. You know, he's not, like,
if we're talking to Sean, like, the football player, then yeah, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, even if we're just talking about, like, football and the immediately, like, related things, like his hatred for the Texans, we just spoke about and agreed on how there was chaos within the Eagles organization. So, like, and a lot of it, we agree, was because Carson Wentz was this huge narcissist, which is fine if you're a narcissist in the right way. But, I mean, Deshaun Watson is this dude who, like, again, there's a lot of wrong going on with Deshaun Watson and a lot of things to discuss. But one of them is he has this incredible conflict with his team. So, yeah, sure. Put that in the Eagles organization. That's totally going to work out. Like, it doesn't panic me that much.
Okay, I was just curious because I think that's lingering out there. I don't know, you know, obviously we added all the qualifiers. We don't know when he's going to play, if he's going to be suspended, what's going to happen legally. We don't know, but there continue to be rumors. Like, when Peter King is coming up with a list of the most likely spots for Deshaun Watson and he's putting the Eagles at the top, in addition to, like, Jason LaConfora and your guy who covers the Cowboys was Mike Fisher down in Texas. Like, he's saying it. So there's all these different sources, like national sources, Texas sources. There is an Eagles sort. There's been Eagles sources, Philly sources so there's a lot of smoke there. And I don't really know fully what to make of it. And a lot of Eagles fans, I don't think, want Deshaun Watson, and reasonably, understandably so. But just from a talent perspective, I mean, like, that mold of a player is exactly, like, what the Eagles need to kind of, like, get back to relevance, like a player, a young quarterback who has elite potential. Like, that's what they don't have. It's a big missing piece for them. So if they got that, like, that would change the equation, at least in terms of excitement level. And, like, now, would it actually work out here? And that's a whole different question for many other reasons, but I just wanted to include that in there. I was thinking today, I was listening to another Eagles podcast, Birds with Friends, who were talking about how there wasn't a lot of Jalen Hurts, like, on the Eagles schedule promotional material. And that's kind of, it's like, kind of
the Sam Darnold Jets thing. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, I mean, it's not everything, but it might not be nothing. So I just think it's very intriguing. And you just, you know, you look at obviously those first round picks, they might have the additional two, and you just wonder. So anyway, to get this out of the way, I felt like I somehow ended up being much more optimistic about the Eagles than I expected to be. And that is not, again, me homering it up, because I've been very much down on this team. I think in my head, I was thinking more 6-11, But then as I actually went through the games, and you know, I kind of poo-pooed the idea of it being a super easy schedule, but there are some favorable games on there. It's not a tough schedule, I would say. And I have them finishing at 8-9 also, like I said earlier. Again, I think that's on the high end though. I think that's with me kind of being a little bit generous to them in some instances. And I think when the schedule comes out, I kind of get into a mindset where I've been bullied all off season by people saying I'm way too negative about the Eagles. And it makes me like try to like, okay, maybe I am being too negative. And I'm going to get into my head too much. Last year, I had the Eagles, like, I think I said between 9-7 and like, it's like 9-7 and 11-5. And I regret that so much because I didn't feel good about him last year at all. Like, and I was like, all right, maybe I'm thinking about it. I'm overthinking it. So maybe I'm doing that again this year. But I lean to them, you know, obviously having a season where things could go wrong, more so a season where they surprise and everything goes great.
Well, it'll be very exciting to see what happens. It'll be very exciting to see what happens over the course of the next week, because we'll be back on Wednesday to discuss all the happenings in the division. We haven't had a Washington guest on in full authenticity, so maybe it's time to do that, BLG. Big day for Potato Soup here on the NFC's mixtape. So, in fact, since you brought up Potato Soup, I'll give you the closing words, BLG. The final thing for Volume 4 of the NFC's mixtape. Go ahead.
So you can tweet at Brandon Gowton and at RJ Ochoa with your favorite soup with hashtag NFC East Mixtape. Let us know your favorite soup.
Delicious.